I really wanted something a little different this morning, if I may. And can I talk a little bit about my journey before I go to the Word? And then I'll be having some people help me in a few minutes also. On November 29th, I had an unexpected suddenly in my life. The doctor, after catheterization, said I had blockage in the main artery going to the heart. And right after that blockage, the arteries split to two arteries that go to your heart, feeding the blood and the oxygen to the heart. He said I needed open heart, double bypass surgery. I already had three stents from 2016. I was told without the surgery, if I had a heart attack, I would die. The stents and this recent blockage that I had were in the part of my heart that many people call the widowmaker. I went into surgery with peace in my heart. I came out of surgery with peace in my heart. And I want you to know I have peace today. And just as suddenly as that came upon me, people began to pray. One thing I do know for sure, God's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with me. Around my seventh day home, as I lay back in the recliner, the Lord began to stir my spirit, and I found myself saying, I want my mountain. After almost 25 years here as pastor, God, I want my mountain. God, I want to reach more people for Jesus than I've ever reached before. I want to help more people and disciple more people than I ever have before. I want to grow people in the Lord, in the relationship with Him. That's what I was feeling inside, and I still feel the same way today. I asked my wife, I was leaning back in the recliner, still couldn't do much for myself. I said, do you have a notepad or a notebook? And she brought me one. And I began to write what I believe was God speaking to me concerning this church. I don't believe I can put all in words what God began to say to me. But if you look in your seat there, there's a Bible mark or a bookmark that you can take home with you. I'd like for everybody please to take it home with you. And the Lord began to put in my spirit, it's time to win. Does anybody need to hear that today besides me? It's time to win. It says, I'm climbing the mountain of faith. I will rise and conquer every obstacle. I will possess the promises of God. With God as my source, what? I win. And as I win, I help others win. Simple, but it was profound to me. As I sat there and prayed, and I didn't do a whole lot of other things for a while, but just pray. Didn't feel like studying, writing down a lot of notes. God began to speak. It's time to win. In 2018. If you know that and believe that, I want you to say amen with me.
Amen.
Matter of fact, before I go to the next part, will you just say it with me? Ready? Time to win in 2018. I am climbing the mountain of faith. I will rise and conquer every obstacle. I will possess the promises of God. With God as my source, I win. As I win, I help others win. I'm going to ask you to memorize that. I'm going to ask you to put it in your Bible and put it in your heart, because I believe God put it in my spirit that in 2018, we're going to see some wins. We're going to see some wins. Now, I've asked Penny Rivenbark, and it's so good to have her back with us in church, isn't it? I've asked her to come, and I've asked four different ones to come and read the scriptures that this is based on. And Sister Penny, it is so good to have you. If you'll come up, please. Give her a hand. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Joshua 14, 10 through 12.
Make sure it's on for you.
I think it sounded like it was on.
Okay. Is it on now? Oh, yes.
There you go. Now you can preach.
Oh, I want to thank everybody for praying for me while I was out. I was out about 8 months, and I did not like it. But God was good. Amen. He took care of us. And now Jim is in heaven. And I thank God for taking care of him. And the pastor asked me to read Joshua 14, 10 through 12. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 45 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in the day now the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.
If you'll just stand right there. Stand right there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next, I've asked James Parker Jr. to come and read.
First John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, brother. Now I've asked Julie Tichy to come and read for us.
Okay, I have Romans 8:31 and 8:37. What shall we when say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And 8:37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Hallelujah. And now Kendra. Kendra is coming to read for us. Yeah. Here
you go. I got 2 Cor 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us.
Yeah. Now I want you to give all of them a hand and then stand up for a minute if you would. The reason I asked different generations to do this is because the Word of God is for every generation. It's for every generation. Those of us that are older, those of us that are young adults, our youth, and our children. God's Word is for every generation, and this Word He gave me for this year is for every one of these, this generation, every generation. Can you say amen? I want you to give a hand to them for being willing to do this. Thank you so much. Y'all can be seated. God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You can be seated. This is the direction God began to receive from the Lord. Afterwards, Gary Manning, Steve McIntyre, their message is tied in with what God was saying to me. Jason's message last Sunday night tied in with what God is saying. The messages that we've been hearing for weeks while I've been out recovering, these messages will grow us in our faith. Can you say amen? And I believe they've been growing us. Also, I've heard prophetic words for 2018 on the Sid Roth show that said the same things that God spoke to me. Ties together. It's time to win. It's time to win. Come on, some of you get it. It's time to win. I want my mountain. How about you this morning? Then the Lord dropped in my spirit a couple of things. Number one, there are mountains in our lives that need to come down. And then secondly, there are mountains we need to possess. Some need to come down, some we need to possess. Just like Caleb, it's time for us to possess the promises of God. I wish I could share every detail with you of how God worked and helped me through the heart surgery and through the recovery. It's 8.5 weeks ago, almost 9 weeks. I wish I could share every detail because God's really worked in me. So myself, my family, my wife, and you, our church, really we've taken this journey together. We've taken it together. And I want to thank you for standing with me and for standing with us. Thank you. And I want to thank my wife for all that she's done to show her love for me. How many of you'd like to be stuck with me 24/7 for 2 weeks? Thank you, church. Hope you didn't mind me sharing that today. Now, as we go to the Word, before we do, I just want to say it's good to see a fellow pastor, Brother Harold. So wonderful seeing you and your wife today. Would you give them a hand for joining us this morning? So if you'll stand with me as we go to the Word today. Simply the title is, It's Time to Win. Time for some breakthroughs in your life. Time for breakthroughs in this church. It's time to win. It's time for family members you've been praying for to win. I want my mountain. I might say that 50 times before I leave here today. It's time to make a difference like never before. You know, choices create influence. Good or bad, the choices we make leave an influence on others. And you know something this morning? I choose to be a winner. How about you? And I want to leave the right influence behind. Now before we go to the scripture, real quickly, just a few illustrations. A winner says, let's find out. A loser says, nobody knows. When a winner makes a mistake, he says, I was wrong. When a loser makes a mistake, he says, it wasn't my fault. A winner isn't nearly as afraid of losing as a loser is secretly afraid of winning. A winner works harder than a loser and has more time. A loser is always too busy to do what is necessary. Dear Lord. A winner goes through a problem and gets... and a loser goes around it and never gets past it. A winner makes commitments. A loser makes promises. I'm a winner. Turn around and tell the person beside you, through Christ, I'm a winner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Joshua chapter 14, thank you for allowing me that time. You're now, and if you're thinking in your mind, now, Brother Bracken, you've shared those things. Now you're going to have this long message. I pray it'll be a short message, okay? Joshua chapter 14, and these are the generations which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. In verse 1, there's a word I want to stick out in your mind and just hold on to it today, and that word is inheritance. Okay? And now we're going to go to chapter 14 and verse 6 in the New Century Version. One day some men from the tribe of Judah went to Joshua at Gilgal. Among them was Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. He said to Joshua, "You remember what the Lord said at Kadesh Barnea when he was speaking to the prophet Moses about you and me? Moses, the Lord's servant, sent me to look at the land where we were going. I was 40 years old then. When I came back, I told Moses what I thought about the land. The other men who went with me frightened the people. But I fully believed the Lord would allow us to take the land. So that day Moses promised me, 'The land where you went will be your land, and your children will own it forever. I will give you that land because you fully believed in the Lord my God.' Now then, the Lord has kept His promise. He has kept me alive for 45 years from the time He said to Moses, during the time we all wandered in the wilderness. Now here, I am 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out, and I'm just as ready to fight now as I was then." Sounds spunky, don't he? Verse 12, "So give me the mountain country that God's promised me that day long ago. But then, back then you heard that the Anakim people lived there and the cities were large and well protected. But now with the Lord helping me, I will force them out, just as the Lord said." Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him the city of Hebron as his own. Hebron still belongs to the family of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. But he had faith and obeyed the Lord, the God of Israel. After that, there was peace in the land. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you that we need to realize that you are here. And Lord, that every day we can experience wins in our lives as we trust you and follow you and listen and obey you in areas where we've never won or in areas where there's been mountains we can't conquer. We thank you that mountains are going to come down. And mountains we need to possess, mountains of promises are going to be ours. And Lord, I thank you for blessing the word to our hearts today. And God, we pray for Brother Manning. God, we come against that flu and command it to go. God, we pray for Terry English that you touch and heal. We pray for Frances Moore that you help her to recover quickly from that surgery at New Hanover. We pray for the Rose family. Will you help Sue and the family at the loss of her husband? We pray for Sue with cancer that her body would line up with the word, and we speak to cancer and command it to die. We pray for Ray Collier that God, you do a miracle of healing and restore health to him. And we pray for Frances Moore. God, just touch and heal. Have your way today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You can be seated. What about Caleb? Caleb waited 45 years to possess the promise of God. God's promise was that Caleb would possess the mountain range in Hebron. So number one is simply this. Trusting God means you never give up. Come on, somebody over here shout me down a little bit. Trusting in God means you never, never, never give up. Number two, when the odds are against you, you got to know that God is with you. Have you ever had the odds against you? Come on, raise your hand if you have. Boy, I have. You got to know that God's with you. Makes all the difference in the world. I like Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God, say it with me, if God be for us, who can be against us? Is there anybody in the house today that knows that God is for you? Come on, raise your hand real high if you know He's for you. Then listen, no matter who or what comes against you, you're the winner. Somebody told me before church, now Brother Bracken, it's your first Sunday back. Don't get up there and show yourself. So I'm trying not to. Say it with me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now let's make it personal. If God be for me, who can be against me? When you know Jesus, that scripture's real. You can stand on it. You can claim it. You can live it. Now, Caleb, don't you respect and admire a man of faith who waited 45 years to experience the promise of God? He truly became a man of God, didn't he? And all those years in the wilderness, he lived for the Lord like he ought to. Caleb. But you know what Caleb's name means? A dog. D-O-G. How many of you'd like to start life with a name that means a dog? Now, it's possible that Caleb was a derogatory nickname. Who knows? In a positive sense, his name could imply faithfulness because our dogs are usually faithful. So maybe it implies faithfulness and humility. Only one commentary said that Caleb's name means all heart. All the rest gave me the strongest concordance. Everybody said the same thing. Dog. My name means lion. I don't mind being called a lion, but I don't want to be called a dog. How about you? And some of us probably have been. Caleb was a descendant of Esau. He and his family were not in the line of blessing that God promised his people Israel. He was outside the promised lineage. So either before Egypt or while the Jews were slaves, Caleb's family joined the Israelites. In reality, all the odds were against Caleb. He promised Canaan to his people Israel. But when it came time to check out the land, get this, when it came time to check out the land before the people were to enter, each tribe was to pick a representative to spy out the land. The tribe of Judah chose Caleb to represent them. Here's a man that wasn't even in the lineage. Here's a man that's a descendant of Esau. A man whose name meant dog. And they chose Caleb to represent them. Dear Lord. So at age 40, at 40 years old, the odds against Caleb were getting ready to change. I know what my name means, and I know I'm not a born Jew. But I believe in God, and I trust Him, and now the people are showing Him favor. Now Caleb and Joshua and eight others checked out Canaan. How many of you remember the story? Oh, there were giants there and many obstacles, but the land was beautiful. It's a beautiful place. The Bible calls Canaan a land flowing with milk and honey. It had everything that they needed. The land God promised them was the best of the best. I heard somebody say one time, God doesn't make junk. He also doesn't give people junk. When God blesses us, He blesses us with the best. Come on, shout me down today. Hallelujah. I like Psalms 84 and verse 11. And here's what it says, 84 and 11, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. God has good things for you and me. If we'll walk with the Lord and follow the Lord, He has good things. He's already prepared to give you what you need in the time of need. We have a faithful God. So for 40 days, Caleb and Joshua and the others checked out the land. Once they returned, 10 spies said, there are giants in the land. The people are big. The people are strong. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, but we're not strong enough to take the land. Oh, I know God promised us, but we just can't do this. I wonder how many times we read the Word and see the promises of God, how He intends to help or provide, and then we still say, I can't. They said, we can't do this. We can't possess the land. In Numbers chapter 13. Now remember, Caleb right now has favor. A whole tribe chose him to represent them. But look in chapter 13 and verse 30. And Caleb, here they are now. They're all upset. Everybody's complaining. We can't possess the land. Only Joshua and Caleb said we can. So Caleb stood up and he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let me just throw in something here. The majority is not always right. And sometimes the majority in churches are not always right. Let me just throw something else in. The church is not supposed to be a democracy. The church is supposed to be a theocracy. Amen? The people began to cry and weep and say, we should have died in the wilderness. Let's get a new leader and go back to Egypt where we were slaves. We were better off there. Joshua and Caleb both tried to convince the people that we can do this. How many of you know faith is a we can do this mentality? Come on. We can do this. God promised. But Brother Bracken, I've been praying over the Word for a while. I've read promises about my family. I've read promises about my health. I've read promises about my finances. And nothing has changed. Has God lied? God is not a man that He should lie. So what's the problem? The problem is we need to take God ahead of His Word, stand up on the promises, and believe God until it happens. Now if you go to Numbers chapter 14, go back over there with me, and verse 7, 14 and verse 7. And they spake, and this is Joshua and Caleb, they spoke to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Listen, what's wrong with you? Can't you see what God's provided is good? Can't you see it's more than enough? If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land. And He'll give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. So don't be afraid of them. It's easy to sing that song, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's easy to sing it. It's another thing to practice it. Instead of going in to drive out the inhabitants and possess the land, the people began to say, let's stone Joshua and Caleb. Boy, his popularity didn't last long, did it? Just was chosen by the tribe of Israel to represent him because he brought back a positive report when the other 10 said, can't do this. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that had faith to believe God that He'd give them what He said. Amen. Out of all those millions of people. Let's stone Joshua and Caleb. I tell you, people's opinions of you can change in a heartbeat. Amen. 45 years later, and after 7 years of war, Joshua led the people to take the land. And Caleb was saying, I want my mountain. I'm ready to possess the promises of God. Can you see how Caleb kept climbing the mountain of faith? He didn't give up or quit, did he? He believed God and stayed faithful. Seemed like the word says, it's required of us that we be found faithful. He stayed faithful. He overcame the obstacles. He ended up possessing the promises of God. And Joshua 14 and 1 says, these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited. This was no small thing. I mean, countries. Not one little city. Not one little state. But they conquered countries in the promised land. Finally, after 45 years, they went in to possess the land. God didn't just give it to them. They had to fight 7 years to do it. Now, I ask you to remember, what word did I ask you to be thinking about in your head, be thinking about in your mind in verse 1? Inheritance. If you go to the original, the first five letters in inheritance is really written I-N-H-A-R. In Har. And it means God's choice. He's saying, so when God says, I make you a promise, and this is what your inheritance is going to be, you can count on it. God chose the land. They didn't. God made the promises, didn't He? God chose Israel. God chose the place. And God chose Caleb. It doesn't matter that the odds were against Caleb. Why? Because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. We're living in a day when so many don't mind going to church. They just don't want to be extravagant in their worship. And they don't want to get too far in it. Still go to church, but not really make it a big part of their life. God's interested in all of us being in church and making it a big part, but more than church, He wants to be a big part of our lives. Amen. He served wholeheartedly. I want to read to you from that. I believe there's a Holman Old Testament, a few things concerning what we're talking about today. Number one, when I say he, we're talking about Caleb. He was dedicated under pressure. Even when 10 spies spoke against him, Caleb stuck to his convictions. Even when the Israelites were ready to stone both Caleb and Joshua, they remained steadfast in their faith. Number two, he was dedicated under difficulties. Caleb endured 38 years in the wilderness for a sin he did not commit. Boy, you could get an attitude against those other people, couldn't you? Look what you cost me. For a sin he didn't commit. He watched family members and friends die in the desert. And yet he remained true to God. Thirdly, he was dedicated under the shadow of another leader. Though Caleb had impeccable character, he was not chosen to be the leader after Moses and retire as the head of the tribe, as his tribe, or as the head of Israel. Nevertheless, Caleb followed and served faithfully in whatever position God called him to hold. Dear Lord. So at age 85, how many of you think you ought to be retired by age 85? How many of you like to retire by then or before? Raise your hand. So at age 85, he wasn't tired out like some of us. He was just getting excited. If you're getting close to 85, it's time to get excited all over again. He didn't walk up to his old buddy Joshua to ask for a maintenance-free, energy-saving home. Preferably with one large porch for his favorite rocking chair. No, he asked for the hill country, still inhabited by giants. He wanted the very area that had intimidated the other 10 spies. And the rest of the Israelites were probably glad to let him have it. Think about it. Since Caleb was 40 years old at the time of the spies' mission and spent 38 years in the desert, the fact that he was now 85 indicates that it took 7 years to conquer Canaan. So from 77 to 85, he helped Joshua conquer the land and defeat 31 kings. I tell you one thing, that old man wasn't dead. He must have gone to the gym every day. Dear God. Now I have a sad side note for you. All those who were afraid, all those who cried and wept saying, "We can't," they all had to die in the wilderness before God could lead the next generation into the promised land. That's sad. That's why I wanted to see the different generations, four different. God cares about our children, about our youth, about our young adults, and about our older believers. This word will work for our children. Our kids need to be getting saved early. All of them died except for Joshua and Caleb. All the naysayers didn't get to go in and possess the land. So trusting God means you never give up. I love the song said, "I've come too far to look back." Another one, "Don't give up on the brink of a miracle." Trusting God means you never give up. When the odds are against you, know without a doubt that God is with you. If you're not sure that He's with you, then it's time that you make sure. Caleb, his name meant dog. One of the most faithful men in Israel. He was a descendant of Esau. In the lineage or line to experience the blessings of God. That tells me that anybody can come to Jesus. Anybody can know the Lord. Anybody can be forgiven. Every race, every nationality can know the living God. And no matter what you've done or where you've been, I don't care what your background has been, our God forgives and He cleanses and He sets free and He puts us on a new path. And brothers and sisters, He changes our hearts and our lives. Our past is the past. Leave it behind and walk with God. Am I being careful? All those things against him, yet he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Brother Bracken, I can't follow him wholeheartedly. It's too hard at my house. Who you trust in, the people in your house or your God? Is God bigger than the problems in your home, or have you allowed the problems to become bigger than your God? Number three, and this is short, and don't say amen. Number three. Follow the Lord wholeheartedly and possess the promises of God. His promises are not just to fill up some pages. His promises are there to change our lives, to provide for us, to help us become like Him. There are mountains we face that need to come down, right? And there are mountains we need to possess. We're going to be talking about those that need to come down and those that we can possess. Caleb said, God promised, and it's mine. Amen. Have you ever walked the floor? I have, and said, devil, you're a liar. Amen. When doubt comes, fear comes, or it seems like it's too hard for you to make it, pick up the word or pull it out of your heart and just tell the devil, you are a liar. I know what the book says. And God is faithful no matter what you're trying to do to me. God promised it's mine. I want my mountain. It's time to win. We're in a brand new year. The past is dead. Can't change it. But I'm telling you, you and I can change what comes next in our life. Trusting God makes a difference, doesn't it? God is faithful. What is it? God is faithful. You can trust Him. Will you stand with me? It's time to climb the mountain of faith. It's time to put your faith to work. You can rise and conquer every obstacle that gets in the way. And there'll be some. Won't there? Sometimes health. Sometimes other people's attitude toward us. Sometimes in the church, obstacles will come. But we need to rise and conquer and overcome. We need to go through and not around and have to go through it again. We don't need to avoid what's facing us. We need to face it with God's help and go through that thing. Whatever it is. You can possess the promises of God. I've thought, God, I don't understand. I had those stents back in September 2016. That was in the Widowmaker part as well. They said then if I'd had a heart attack, I'd have died. So God, Lord, why'd I have to go through that? Then I got to thinking, now I go for open heart surgery. Why? God, I lay hands on myself. I pray for myself. But God uses people, and doesn't He? And I got to thinking about the surgeon, like the man in the flood that was drowning. You've heard the story? God, save me. And a boat comes along and he says, nope, God's going to save me. Water rises, he gets on top of the house. Right? They send a helicopter to rescue him. Nope. God's going to rescue me. And the water rises and he drowns. He dies. When he gets to heaven, he says, God, why didn't you save me and rescue me from that flood? He said, I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. And I believe I'm alive today because God sent a surgeon. And I want to thank Him for it today. Now listen. I don't know what mountains you're facing. Some of you are going through some very difficult times, and one I think about that's taken on more than a lot of us would be willing to do is Elise. She's a grandparent. As a grandparent and older, and her kids are grown, she shouldn't be having to raise her grandchildren. So she took two. And then another one's born, and now she has their baby. We need to pray for Elise. We really do. And there's others of you. Look what Penny's been through. We can't stop visiting her now, praying for her now. I think of Frances Moore in the hospital, such a lonely woman. feels like nobody loves her and cares for her. Almost died. She needs you. She needs me. We need each other. And I can make, go on and on. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you I do and some of you I don't. I just know God's faithful. Now, if you're facing some mountains that you need to go through or pull down, you got to be determined to do it. If you're here today and some mountains, Brother Bracken, I got to pull down or go through. I'm not going around them because I don't want to repeat this. I don't want to repeat this either. So if you're here today, you got to move quickly. I've got a mountain. Mountains that need to come down, but that I need to come through. I'll just move quickly to this altar so we can pray with you. But you got to come quick. Then I've got another question after that. Just come quickly. Come help me, Brother Steve. Come help me, Brother Bob. Come help me, Sister Gloria. Next question. Next question. If there's some mountains you need to possess that you need to take back, are there promises that you've had a hard time wrapping your arms around to believe, to receive? But today you say, I'm going to possess that mountain. It's been a mountain because it's like it's been out there and I just can't get there. And there may be other things. There's some mountains I need to possess. I want you to come to. Right now, move quickly. Some mountains I need to possess.